Welcome to Christ is the Way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This program is brought to you by the Tri-County Church of Christ, which meets north of Watertown, New York at 26202 Highway 11. Our building is across the street from Stewart's Gas Station, just before the Fort Drum West entrance. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for children's songs and Bible classes for all ages. Also 11 a.m. for worship. We meet again Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. for Bible study. Our midweek Bible study is on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Check out our website at www.christistheway.com. The website has all of this information and more. If you have a question or would like to send in a question for us to answer on the air, email us at this address, myquestion@christistheway.com. And now for today's program. Hello, we're glad you're listening to our program today. My name is Tom Rainwater, and today I'm going to be talking about suffering. Obviously, there are different degrees of suffering, from simple frustrations to extreme hardship. And so I'll be asking this question. How should we deal with life's frustrations? How should we deal with suffering? Now let me ask you this at the beginning. Have you ever felt frustrated? I mean really frustrated? Have you ever let a difficult or undesirable circumstance ruin your mood or sour your attitude toward the day? I imagine every one of us has felt some degree of frustration this past week over something. And I wouldn't be telling you anything new if I said that frustration is a part of life. You already know that. And you probably already know that the answer to life's anxieties is Jesus Christ. But before we get to that point at the conclusion of our program, I want to illustrate frustration for you from the life of the Apostle Paul. When we generally think of Paul, we do not picture a frustrated man. We envision someone with superhuman faith, totally undaunted by the hardships of life. We see him as someone who walked 10 feet off the ground, never getting discouraged nor feeling down. Well, if that's our view of him, then we do not know the real Saul of Tarsus. We know he was indeed strong in the faith, and the reason he was strong was that he knew how to deal with frustration. We read in the Bible that his life was full of fear and trembling. His preaching brought him frequent beatings, cursings, and imprisonments. But he remained strong in spite of those things, things probably more serious than what typically frustrates us on a daily basis. For our first major point in the program, let's talk about Paul's frustration as a new Christian. After Paul first became a Christian, what happened? Well, the unbelieving Jews of Damascus, angered that he was now preaching Christ, persuaded the Gentile authorities to search for him so that they could kill him. Watch was posted throughout the city, and especially at the gates, and they were determined that he would not leave town alive. He escaped by being let down the city wall in a huge basket at night. And Paul tells about this in Acts chapter 9 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And so after running for his life, escaping from the city, Paul probably was excited about going to meet the brethren in Jerusalem and finding encouragement from them. And what he found out was that there were people there who didn't want him around because they feared him, knowing his past reputation as a persecutor of the Christians. It says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26, beginning Acts 9:26, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." And so we see, had it not been for Barnabas' insistence in bringing Paul before the apostles to prove to them his conversion was genuine, Paul might have never been accepted among the brethren there. Do you think he felt any frustration then? Now, rejection doesn't feel very good, does it? Have you ever been made to feel unwelcome, being put in a position of having to prove yourself? Someone at the first saw Paul and ran away or slammed the door on him or something like that, all because of his own past reputation, his own doing. Paul felt frustrated not because the brethren were slow in recognizing his conversion, but because his own former sin, though forgiven, brought less than comfortable consequences. Is your frustration due to the sin of your past life and the lingering consequences of it? I personally know people who committed sin, were forgiven of it in Christ, but still had to deal with the physical consequences of their sin afterwards. Indeed, the important thing to do is to find forgiveness in Christ, to cleanse and save the soul. But afterwards, for them, came the task of dealing with either an unwanted pregnancy, a drug addiction, or a jail sentence, or something like that. In the back of Paul's mind, he never forgot that he murdered many Christians out of a misguided zeal before his conversion. He always felt unworthy of his forgiveness and his apostleship. But again, what type of person do we think of when we think of Paul? We think of someone faithful and strong, a spiritual leader. And in Christ, you can be that too, regardless of your past, and regardless of any frustration that your past might bring you. Our second major point in our program has to do with Paul's frustration as an apostle. God chose Paul to be an apostle. And I wonder how many times people told Paul, "Well, Paul, you know something? You're not one of the original 12. When Paul had to be firm in dealing with sin among the brethren, I imagine some of the less faithful brethren responded this way. "But Paul, who are you to exercise authority? You're not one of the 12. What right do you have to preach to us? You used to kill Christians." The original 12 never did that. Peter never did that. John never did that. Well, we know people doubted Paul's apostleship because of his responses to his critics in 2 Corinthians and in Galatians. I wonder if Paul felt any frustration when he had obviously spoken to these people by inspiration, had performed the signs and wonders of an apostle, had passed on the gifts of the Spirit, and still some of them questioned whether or not he was good enough to be an apostle. Those of you who teach from the Bible, have you ever felt frustrated when people won't listen to you? Have you felt frustrated when they make you the issue as to why they won't listen? Some might look down on your age and say, "Well, you're too young or you're too old for me to respect what you have to say. Who are you to tell me what I should do?" Or they may turn up their nose and say, "Well, you're not from around here, are you?" Or they may think that you're inadequate to help them because, "Well, you just don't understand my troubles. You haven't gone through what I have." Well, people have a million excuses why they won't listen to you teach them the gospel. And what I say is, keep teaching the word anyway. And when they say things like that and frustrate you because they won't listen, know that you're in good company with Paul. The third major thing I'd like to talk about in our program is about Paul's frustration over things he could not change. Paul had risked his life on many occasions, preaching the gospel from Asia Minor to Macedonia and Achaia, establishing churches in nearly every province that he traveled. Yet, in the meantime, something was really bothering him, a thorn in the flesh. He talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. And in that epistle he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." That he describes it as a thorn shows his frustration. We don't know what that thorn was that was bothering Paul. But we do know that it bothered him a great deal, since he pleaded to God three times in prayer, in verse 8, that it be removed. And it says here in verse 8, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." Now let's notice the Lord's answer in verse 9. "And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And what the Lord was telling Paul here is that the Lord had provided Paul a great deal of grace. Grace that he might be saved. Grace that he might be helped in time of need and difficulty. He's telling Paul, "You have all you need to overcome. I have given that to you." And he says, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." That is, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That is, because you have this thorn in the flesh, you are weak in the flesh. And I am, through you, showing people that though they might be weak in the flesh, they can be strong in spirit. That if they rely on me, they can be spiritually strong. And so Paul's response to that is, continuing in verse 9, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So Paul says, "Lord, if you're using my thorn in the flesh to show people how they can be strong in the Lord, even though they might have a thorn in the flesh," then he says, "I take pleasure in my suffering. I take pleasure in my frustrations." And Paul says, "I realize, for when I am weak," that is, when I'm suffering in the flesh, "then I am strong. I can be made strong through suffering." And that's a great lesson for us. Because though we may suffer, face difficulties, face hardships in life, God is always there providing us with everything that we need. We can be strong in spirit, though we might be suffering in the flesh. And we, as a result, will be a great example for other people. And they can look at us and they can say, "Look, if they can stay strong in the Lord, then so can I." And what a great lesson. Now, I want you to think about this. Paul healed many people of their infirmities and cast out demons by the power of God. Yet, he could not cast away whatever this thorn was that was bothering him. Do you have anything in your life that frustrates you, yet you have no power to do anything about it? I know a preacher in Kentucky that is going completely blind. Now, is that a hindrance to his work? Yes, it is. Is it a source of frustration for him? Most definitely. Is there anything that he can do to correct that or change it? No. Does it seem fair that a preacher who could do so much more for the kingdom is about to completely lose his sight? No, it doesn't seem fair. Now, you may have a bodily infirmity, a disability, or disease that you're powerless to control. Or maybe you have some other kind of problem that will just not go away. I want you to know that you are just like Paul. Paul was able to deal with his thorn when he finally accepted these two facts. Number one, that the thorn was there and it wasn't going to go away. And two, that he, in his weakness, would be able to encourage you to do the best that you can in the Lord. Friend, God wants you to see that if Paul could be faithful with a thorn, then you can too. If you have a thorn in the flesh, you have something that other people don't have, and that is a bond with the Apostle Paul. Glory in that, friend. Next, I'd like to talk about Paul's frustration that he had concerning a lost friend. Later on in his preaching, Paul was arrested and brought to Rome twice. The first time he was put under house arrest and then released. The second time he was treated like a condemned criminal who would soon be executed. Paul awaited the end. Yet that is not what bothered him the most. Demas, once one of Paul's trusted co-workers, had turned his back on both Paul and the Lord. Paul speaks about that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. 2 Timothy 4, verses 9 and 10, where Paul says to Timothy, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." You see, Demas had become worldly again, and Paul knew that his soul was in great danger. Paul cared deeply about others, and the fact that Demas left at this crucial time would have added frustration upon frustration. It is indeed discouraging when people we've known to be faithful to God for years leave him for the vain pleasures of sin. Have you felt frustrated when that happens? I have. And I imagine Paul felt that frustration many, many times. When we feel it, our hearts are saddened alongside of Paul's. We can do like Paul and find encouragement in those who hold to their faith, so we can deal with the disappointment of those who don't. Paul found so much comfort in the faithful at Philippi, Ephesus, Corinth, Colossae, Thessalonica, Rome, and other places. We must also look to those who hold fast the confession of their faith. But even if all men were to fail us, there is Jesus Christ who will never disappoint us. Now I'd like to talk about Paul's frustration in his loneliness. At the time Paul was in prison awaiting his death, only Luke was with him. We read that in 2 Timothy 4, in verse 11, where he says, "Only Luke is with me." I can imagine a lonely Paul seeking comfort from Luke, requesting this of the gospel writer, saying, "Brother, tell me again about the time that Jesus walked on the water. Tell me about Jesus sending out the 70. While in prison, Paul wrote Timothy to come and bring John Mark before he died. And John Mark had matured into a reliable worker. In fact, John Mark also had written a book by God's inspiration, that is, the Gospel of Mark. And I can imagine Paul, in preparing himself for death, saying, "John Mark and Luke, I'm about to die. Tell me again about the time when Jesus died on the cross." Friends, Paul was frustrated and bothered and hindered the entire time he was a Christian, from conversion to death. You know that the presence of problems and frustrations did not make him any less of a Christian. So please apply this to yourself if you're a Christian, and know that the presence of frustration in your life does not demean or lessen your blessings in Christ. In reality, life's difficulties give you greater opportunities for your light to shine. What if Paul had never suffered or had never been persecuted? Would we be as impressed with his faith as we are now? No, we wouldn't. What if nothing had happened to Paul to test his perseverance? Would we be encouraged as much to persevere in life ourselves? No. Like Paul, your own frustrations can be a way to teach others. If they see your hardships and your faith as you stick it out, they will be encouraged to continue in Christ through your example. And here at the conclusion of our program, let's say that yes, Jesus Christ is the answer to life's problems, to life's frustrations, and life's sufferings. Jesus is the answer to the problems of sin, discouragement, and death. All of those are solved through Him. Now, how are they solved? When we obey Him, He forgives our sins. He gives us sources of encouragement. And He eventually raises us from death to walk in eternal life. You know, we could have, on this program, spent time talking about the frustrations in Jesus' life. Remember that Jesus was not accepted by His own people and was betrayed by one of His own disciples. Picture His sorrow in the Garden of Gethsemane, His arrest, His trials, His scourging, and then His crucifixion on the cross. As Paul looked to Jesus' sufferings for strength, Jesus looked to His Father for strength. We can get encouragement from all those places. Will you please resolve to be strengthened in these ways? First of all, by becoming a Christian and receiving all spiritual blessings in Christ. Secondly, by recognizing the bond that Christians share together as they face the same frustrations. Notice what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." And Peter says that, remember, when you suffer, you're going through the same thing that many other Christians are going through. And that can be a great comfort. And let us be resolved to be strengthened in this third way, by finding strength, comfort, and hope from the same source, the source above. And Paul had that kind of hope. Near the end of his life, as he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Paul was confident of that hope, of the promises of God. But Paul knew that in order to get that reward, he had to fight the good fight, finish the race, keep the faith, and we have to do that now. That as long as we are alive, we serve God, obey His commands, be faithful unto death. And we, like Paul, can live in heaven forever and ever. We hope you've enjoyed our program today. We hope we've said something that will encourage you to want to become a Christian and to find help in times of hardship, in times of frustration. The Lord is there. He's ready to help you. But you have to take that first step of faith. Believe in Him with all of your heart, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Confess that before men. Repent of your sins. And be baptized. Be faithful unto death. And then heaven will be your hope, your home. And there's nothing more comforting in this life than to know that.
We hope you've enjoyed our program today. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Christ is the Way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This program is brought to you by the Tri-County Church of Christ, which meets north of Watertown, New York at 26202 Highway 11. Our building is across the street from Stewart's Gas Station, just before the Fort Drum West entrance. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for children's songs and Bible classes for all ages. Also, 11 a.m. for worship. We meet again Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. for Bible study. Our midweek Bible study is on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Check out our website at www.christistheway.com. The website has all of this information and more. If you have a question or would like to send in a question for us to answer on the air, email us at this address, myquestion@christistheway.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.